Welcome, everyone. The public hearing on the Glen Ellyn School District 41 2012-2013 budget will now come to order. Mrs. Stecker, will you please call the roll?
Mr. Kenwood? Mr. Bondurant?
Here.
Mr. Smith?
Here.
Mrs. Howard?
Here.
Mr. Glatt?
Here.
Mr. Ellis?
Here.
Mrs. Nelson?
Here. Glen Ellyn School District 41 2012-2013 tentative budget has been on display and made available for public inspection on the district's website as well as at the Central Services Office since June 26, 2012. Notice for tonight's hearing was published in the Gatehouse Media Suburban Newspapers, Suburban Life Publications, on Thursday, June 28, 2012. To date, the district has not received any questions or comments regarding the budget. Are there any members of the public who wish to comment on the budget at this time? Hearing none, may I have a motion to adjourn the public hearing?
So moved.
Second.
Roll call, please.
Mr. Bondurant?
Yes.
Mr. Smith?
Yes.
Mrs. Howard?
Yes.
Mr. Blair?
Yes.
Mr. Ellis?
Yes.
Mrs. Nelson?
Yes. All right, we'll move right into our regular meeting. The regular meeting of the Board of Education will now come to order. Mr. Ellis, will you lead us in the pledge?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Board Member Dan Smith is not able to attend the meeting in person due to an appointment-related obligation. In accordance with District 41 policy, Mr. Smith notified the superintendent's office that he would not be physically present for the board meeting, but would like to participate in the meeting by phone. May I have a motion to approve Mr. Smith's participation by phone in tonight's meeting?
Motion.
Second.
Thank you. Roll call, please.
Mr. Kenwood?
Yes.
Here.
Andrea? Yes.
Mrs. Howard?
Yes.
Mr. Glatt?
Yes.
Mr. Ellis?
Yes.
Yes. Welcome, Dan.
Thanks.
Mrs. Stecker, please call the roll.
Mr. Kenwood?
Yes.
Mr. Bondurant?
Here.
Mr. Smith?
Here.
Mrs. Howard?
Here.
Mr. Glatt?
Here.
Mr. Ellis?
Here.
Mrs. Nelson?
Here. Are there any members of the public present who wish to address the board at this time?
Yes, I'm
welcome.
Thank you. I'm Sue Schultz, coach of teacher of sixth grade over at Hadley, and co-president of the Teachers Association. And I just wanted to share some really good news with you today. One of the elementary school math specialists has been nominated. She's one of two nominees, Jean Kamelik, one of two nominees from a five-state area to be director of the Central Region 1, that's currently our number, for the National Council of Supervisors of Mathematics. So it is quite an honor to be nominated for this, and she's one of two. So I just wanted to share that with you. That's a really big feather in her cap and our cap for having her as an employee.
Absolutely. Thank you, Sue. That's great. All right, presentation reports.
Well, we've had the hearing on the budget, and as you know, we've had lots of budget conversations since last April, and tonight is the final day for the budget to be on display, and we will be asking the Board of Education to take action on the proposed budget a little later in the agenda. But to begin, Bob would like to do his annual budget presentation for you.
Thank you. I'll sort of get to the point. There are about 8 or 10 slides here that everybody has seen for the past several years. It was suggested after a conversation with Ann last week that we just sort of get right to the budget presentation. If you have any questions, I'd be more than happy to answer them. So, keep going. This is a chart that demonstrates the split of revenues amongst the various sources that we receive our revenue from. As you can see, property taxes are about 86%. That's a little bit less than what we're typically used to, which is around 88 or 89%, because we abated the levy back in December. So you've got 86% property taxes, 6% other local revenue, which is due to fees, interest income, food service, things of that nature. We have about 7% coming from your state and 1% from the federal. Mike, can I see the next slide, please? One of the issues that we've had over the past couple of years, and we're going to have that issue again this fiscal year that just ended, was the amount of revenue that we're going to be receiving from the state. We have significantly increased the amount of revenue that we're expecting from state sources, in particular special education, special ed reimbursement, private facility, things of that nature. We have typically, we budgeted about $900,000 there last year. We're up to about $1.8 million in this budget in terms of all categorical funding from the state of Illinois. So what I've done is we went right to the FRIS website, which is what we call our website, to go to the state of Illinois, and there they tell us of what we can expect to, how we can expect to receive our financing. So that is a significant increase over last year, and there's a reconciliation that we'll show after this presentation. So I just wanted to give you some of the highlights. Total property taxes are $38.9 million. Corporate personal property taxes are a little over $900,000. All local revenue sources, about $41,500,000. We've upped the state revenue to almost $3.349,000. Federal sources are about $450,000 for total revenue of about $45,152,000. Remember, we abated $2.7 million of that with regards to the property tax levy in December. So what does that mean with regards to our expenditures? We spend about 59% of our expenditures on salaries, another 12% on benefits, which is about 71 or 72%, and a balance is split between supplies and materials, capital project, purchase services, and other other expenditures. Others could be special ed tuition and things of that nature. This gives you a breakdown of where we spend our money between salaries, benefits, purchase services, supplies and materials, equipment, and then just the other object column, and then it's split down by areas of expenditure. We call them function codes, and it's direct instruction support services for instruction, general administration, business, all the way down the line. So Mike, can you please move ahead then? So how do these expenditures, or these revenues and expenditures, how do they compare with last year? Last year our revenues are expected to be, this year our revenues are expected to be about $785,000 less than last year. Again, that's a direct result of the abatement. Expenditures are expected to increase approximately $2 million across all funds. We're estimating our deficit at $2.2 million. Again, there would be a surplus, but we would make. Right. So overall, we talked about a $785,000 reduction in overall expenditures. That represents 1.71% reduction in our revenue estimates, and we expect our expenditure to increase overall by about 4.42%. I've been asked to present this slide. This isn't. We try to duplicate the state budget document that we typically file, but we have been asked over the past couple of years to get an estimate in terms of where we would expect our fund balances to come in at. Mm-hmm. So what I've done is I've taken right from your treasurer's report. The only difference being is that in your treasurer's report, there's a column in there for insurance expenses, which are not included in this presentation. So we have cash balances right off of our treasurer's report of $37.9 million. Those are fund balances. Here's your revenue amount for $45,152,000. Expenditures estimated at $47,364,000. Again, here is the deficit at $2.2 million for this year, which would give us a projected fund balance of about $35,700,000. And out of that number, we back out the June receipt of taxes, which are estimated at almost $19,500,000. Those are backed off per board policy. We received the taxes during the months of May and June, but we don't actually recognize them. They're accrued by the auditors when they come in for their audit now, but we are, by per board policy, we accrue them back to the appropriate fiscal year in which they're anticipated, expected to be expended. So what is our undesignated fund balances? Approximately $16.3 million. Now we have two different computations here. We have the individual fund fund balance comparisons, which shows the fund balance to the expenditure for a particular fiscal year. And that's all funds of 34.35%, or operating funds, which we define as education expense, the education fund, operations and maintenance, transportation, and the Social Security. And that has been determined 27.44%. Again, these are all cash cash accounts. They have their unaudited financial statements under which we're being reviewed now, in the process. So overall, again, we've talked about the revenues going down 1.71%. Overall, real estate taxes decreased 4.52%. Other local revenues went up 3.58%. State revenues, that went up 45%. That is because we significantly increased the categorical reimbursements that we received. Federal dollars came down a little bit, 9.01%. Expenditures overall went up 4.42%. Salaries increased 2.64%. Benefits were up 2.06%. And then purchase services went up about 19%. Again, that's also because of some of the significant expenditures that we run into for transportation, food service. With regards to transportation, special education transportation has gone up significantly. And then we also have a recent meeting the past couple of years with regards to homeless transportation. We actually spent almost $60,000 on that area this past fiscal year. Mike? Supplies and materials were down slightly. Equipment, capital projects were up about 18%, and then the other expenditure line is up about 2.4%. So, one of the major projects for this coming fiscal year. As you know, we brought forth the recommendation and the project is just about being completed. That is the updates to Hadley parking lot, the stormwater project. And then also we finished painting the other three elementary schools this summer in the 21st century colors that were developed in the district. What are some of the other capital expenditures that we can expect this year? Continued technology updates. And then the curriculum-based program needs continue to update our standardized classroom furniture. We now have it in 32 classrooms throughout the among our elementary buildings, and then we have we standardized our desk and student chairs at Hadley. That project is also finished. So, financial initiative. We're building a five-year financial plan that ensures sustainability. We're implementing a program-based budget aligned with the long-range plan. We're creating environments for the 21st century learner. We're creating operational efficiencies that align with 21st century building practices. And finally, we're ensuring technology access for all students. Yes. Are there any questions? Yes.
Sorry, go ahead.
I just was curious, did we actually receive them? Okay, I know you're saying we've had an increase in categorical. That's what we're budgeting, but we actually haven't received any of the money.
We actually received, during this past fiscal year, we received two payments as of June 30, the first and second quarter. The first week of July, or thereabouts, we received the third quarter, and still out there in the comptroller's office in the state, it still says that we're expecting about another $445,000 in revenue that we anticipate receiving soon, we would hope. And if it doesn't get too far out there, we would expect that to be accrued back into this last fiscal year, for the year ended June 30th, 2012.
Okay, so they're behind on their payments, but what they're telling us they're going to give us more?
They're behind on their payments, and what I'm budgeting is what they're telling us we can expect to receive.
Mm-hmm. But one of the things that's happened to us the last couple of years is that there's been so much information about don't count on getting these payments that we've budgeted conservatively. Mm-hmm. And in the end, we've received those payments, and so it hasn't really... The outcome hasn't been what we expected. Our conservative approach has really created for us a greater surplus than we intended. So we're adding those revenues in and anticipating we will receive them.
Mm-hmm. So in non-accounting terms, we've been paid. It's just been paid slower.
So that's correct.
We have been paid.
Correct.
There's no...
Well, almost completely.
Mm-hmm. And a lot of the talk of may not get money from the state, blah, 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 we're getting the money at this point.
Correct. Right?
Slowly but surely.
That was actually the same question that I had about the 45.50%. And I know that I'd asked when you put the preliminary budget out about how that might, what your projection was in terms of impacting our deficit. And so I have two questions. One is more of a curiosity question. I don't want to have a long conversation about it, but with regard to special ed transportation, has the district ever provided its own transportation for our special needs students?
Well, that's I don't know if they've ever done it. It's certainly something that we don't do now that's provided through a
case
or special ed cooperative. So that's part of that whole package.
Right.
And we do receive bills from SEPTRAN monthly, quarterly.
And we negotiate the SEPTRAN contract. We do a case board.
Board, right.
We do it just like we do our transportation here. Mm-hmm. We go out to bid and...
So that was the $60,000. That's what you're talking about? Was it special ed or was it $60,000?
That was in homeless transportation. A relatively new phenomenon.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Oh, okay. I didn't know if you were referring to that.
No.
Because that's the one I was going to ask about, whether we do that, which you can't really budget.
I will tell you that we have. Are you talking about homeless transportation?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. Is that something we would? Is that? I mean, I don't know how many people there are, but is that something we can bring in house?
Well, it's done through a system of caps because the kids are spread so
it's individual
far over the area
every week and where they're going.
We got kids coming from down. We have kids from Downers Grove, Glendale Heights. I think we have some in Lombard. So there isn't really a set boundary area. It's wherever those families happen to.
So it's not like 72.5% of them are in Glendale Heights, and then there are a few exceptions.
They can move from week to week too.
They mm-hmm.
Yeah, they might be in a shelter for a particular amount of time, is what Heather explained to me. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So there's no X percentage that's in a general area.
Well, you know, just a couple of years ago, we weren't spending anything on it. Now, here we are 2 or 3 years later, we're spending almost $60,000, kind of an unknown quantity. Mm-hmm. And I know Jerry upstairs will get a call. We provide transportation with a couple of days' notice. And that's sort of how the program runs.
Mm-hmm. Roughly how many kids is that?
It's probably 15. Maybe 10, 15 yeah. kids over the course of the year. Mm-hmm. They may not all be transported all year long.
Right. They transition. Mm-hmm. Maybe they end up back in our district. Maybe they move on at some point.
But I think John brings up an interesting point. Is it an opportunity? You know, there are cab services that are regional or serve all over Chicago area. Maybe there's an opportunity to bundle it to some sort of a quote where you could promise all your business to one cab company.
That's actually what we've done. We contract with American and Universal Cab Company. And myself and Jerry have just met with a representative from each, and we've got pricing from each cab company, and we're actually going to stay where we're at because their rates are about 50% to two-thirds of what the other cab company was. So we have met with the two cab companies that were most interested in transporting our kids. There's a couple of things we need to look out for. Of course, the cost, safety of kids, type of insurance that they carry, other drivers certified can actually transport students. So it's not just trying to go out and get the best price. We have to go out and get the best price considering certain issues out there.
Mm-hmm. All right, the best qualified.
Best qualified.
There you go.
And we have to do background checks.
We do, yeah, absolutely.
Always ahead of us, Bob. So that was a kind of a curiosity question. And then, so we have a budget presented tonight with a $2.2 million deficit.
That's correct.
And I know that our board policy talks about not presenting a deficit budget.
That's correct.
Just want to kind of clarify that.
I just want to clarify why we have a deficit.
Right. Right. I just for public, you know, knowing
we're
that we're taped, that we're... Yeah, that we're clear on that.
Yeah, yeah. We have a deficit because we chose to abate, and it's the only way to reflect that abatement.
So. It's nice to see the state dollars coming where we were concerned
nice.
About that.
And I've expressed my anxiety, Ann and Phyllis, on numerous occasions. I just, you know, you never know where the state's going to come in with this money.
Mm-hmm.
I am under-projected the past couple of years, mm-hmm. and I said, you know what, this year we're just going to... That's what they tell us we're going to get. We're going to take them at their word and see where we end up. So we projected over $3 million in state revenue this year.
Okay. Thanks, Bob.
Any other questions? Thank you.
Thank you, Bob.
Thanks, Bob.
Thanks, Bob.
Action items. Our consent agenda. Are there any items that board members would like removed from the consent agenda to be considered separately? Okay, hearing none, may I have a motion to approve the consent agenda, which includes item one, human resources, personnel report, employment recommendations, resignation and retirement, item two, finance, facilities and operations, treasurer's report, investment schedule, monthly revenue expenditure summary report, summary of bills and payroll, school district payment order, vandalism damage report, disposal of surplus property, the 2011-2012 FOIA report, serious safety hazards, and the authorization to prepare the 2013-2014 budget. Item three, other matters, which include the board meeting minutes of June 25th, 2012 regular meeting, June 25th, 2012 regular meeting closed session, July 21st, 2012 special meeting, and July 21st, 2012 special meeting closed session.
Second.
Thank you. Roll call, please.
Mr. Condra?
Yes.
Ms. Howard?
Yes.
Mr. Blatt?
Yes, but I just have a very small comment on the personnel report. Being a Lincoln dad, I'm very sad to see Margaret Peter resign. She was an asset to the school, and she'll be missed. And I'm also very happy that Jeff Burke has decided to be the interim principal. Interim assistant principal, correct. Okay. I didn't want to pull up the report, but I wanted to make that clear.
Thank you. Thank you, Sam.
Mr. Allen?
Yes.
Mr. Smith?
Yes.
Yes.
Nelson?
Yes. Superintendent recommendations. Number one, the adoption of the 2012-2013 budget. A public hearing and presentation on the 2012-2013 budget was held earlier this evening. The tentative budget has been on display and made available for public inspection on the district's website as well as the Central Services Office since June 26, 2012. Notice for tonight's hearing was published in the Gatehouse Media Suburban Newspapers, Suburban Life Publications, on Thursday, June 28, 2012. A copy of the final budget will be posted on the district's website within 30 days after Board of Education approval. May I have a motion to adopt the 2012-2013 budget as presented?
So moved.
Second.
Any discussion? All right, roll call, please.
Mr. Blatt?
Yes.
Mr. Ellis?
Yes.
Mr. Smith?
Yes.
Mr. Kenwood?
Yes.
Mr. Vondra?
Yes.
Mrs. Howard?
Yes.
Mrs. Nelson?
Yes. The administration is recommending approval of the following items, which were discussed by the board at its June 25th meeting. The first one is the supplemental pay recommendation. The administration is recommending that the board accept the addition of a dance club as a new Group 3 activity for the supplemental pay schedule, and that Dare to Dream Club move from a Group 4 activity to a Group, I'm sorry, from a Group 5 activity to a Group 4 activity, effective at the start of the 2012-2013 school year. These are both organizations at Hadley. May I have a motion to approve this recommendation as presented?
Motion.
Second.
Any discussion? All right, roll call, please.
Mrs. Power?
Yes.
Mr. Glass?
Yes.
Mr. Ellis?
Yes.
Mr. Smith?
Yes.
Mr. Kenwood?
Yes.
Mr. Gondrick?
Yes.
Mrs. Nelson?
Yes. The Hadley lot, parking lot and stormwater project change order number one. On June 25th, the board tabled action on this matter until the district had an opportunity to review its options with legal counsel regarding the City of Wheaton's decision to rescind its agreement with the district for the Hadley parking lot project. It has been determined that there is no legal recourse for the district relative to the change in the scope of work at Hadley. May I have a motion to approve this recommendation as presented?
Motion.
Second.
Any discussion? I just want to thank Bob for fielding all the calls he's taken and communicating yet again with the community members there. And any other information, we'll get to you. Roll call, please.
Mr. Ellis?
Yes.
Mr. Smith?
Yes.
Mr. Kenwood?
Yes.
Mr. Vondrack?
Yes.
Mrs. Howard?
Yes.
Mr. Glass?
Yes.
Mrs. Nelson?
Yes. And finally, adoption of settlement agreement and general release with a former employee, grievance 2011-2012-37986, as discussed in closed session on June 25th, 2012. May I have a motion to approve this recommendation as presented?
Motion. Second.
Discussion? Roll call, please.
Mr. Smith?
Yes.
Mr. Kenwood?
Yes.
Mr. Vondrack?
Yes.
Mrs. Howard?
Yes.
Mr. Glass?
Yes.
Mr. Ellis?
Yes.
Mrs. Nelson?
Yes. Thank you. Superintendent's report.
I have just two quick items, other than, you know, to share my excitement with you, which I do every week on school getting ready to start, and it gives me goosebumps just thinking about it. But two items I wanted to ask you about. The second, I'll just give you a quick update on staffing and where our class sizes look like they are right now. The first item is one that I asked you in an email to help me remember whether or not we agreed to host board meetings off-site at the schools this next year or keep them all here. And the responses that you gave me, those of you who responded, were split two and two. And so that says to me, I don't think we made a final decision. So we have... we'd like to make sure that we finalized our board location, board meeting locations, and so I just need some consensus on whether we're going to continue to meet at the schools, which we've already put up the schedule to you, mm-hmm. that reflected that we're meeting at the schools, or we're not, and we'll switch that and have all meetings here, which does not preclude the schools from doing a presentation, certainly, to us, but it does change going to the schools. So, what's your pleasure on where we meet this year?
Well, I was one of the two that maybe initiated the whole thing. And my recollection, which might be wrong, was that we agreed not to go to the schools for a few different reasons. You know, the extra work for the staff, the extra work for the administration at the school. The attendance wasn't much higher, or if at all, at the schools than it is at the CSO. So my inclination would be to keep all the meetings here.
I wouldn't say it wasn't much higher, especially when students were involved.
Well, I think it was that they would come for the student part of the
right.
presentation and they would leave. So the point of it, if the point of hosting the meeting was to increase overall attendance, I guess... I don't really think it did, if they left right away.
Well, there's still more interaction with the board than if they never came. So I'm not saying you have to go to every school every year, but I don't think there's a problem. Maybe one elementary school a year, Hadley, or something like that. I
guess where I thought we that's where I thought we left it. I mean, I agree that, you know, I thought it was a good idea to get out there, but I don't know that it's really accomplished its mission of getting more participation. It certainly does that first 20 minutes or 30 minutes of the presentation. I personally thought we had left it with maybe we'd do one in the fall and one in the spring, kind of cut back and just leave it at that.
At least, you know, that when we had the alchemy for the teachers, at least when that had it, because there was more room.
But I didn't.
Our new staff orientation.
New staff orientation. Yeah.
Depends on the size of our new staff.
Right.
Dan, what were you going to say?
I fell on the side of, I guess, keeping with it. I mean, because otherwise, there's some schools that I don't get to. I don't have the opportunity to. And especially now that we're doing some more STEM and 21st century classrooms, I think there's an opportunity, you know, since I like the community, the communication piece, to pair that up with an open house for those 21st century classrooms or whatnot.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think every school can participate. They just either come here or they're part of the thing, right?
That's one option, yes, that the schools could come here.
And if you gave the principals the options, they would all just do it here.
You know, I think the principals are happy to do it wherever we want them to do it.
I was the other comment to Ann that it sounds like Dan gave as well, which was, I mean, for all the reasons Sam stated, I agree that it's from a workload perspective, and certainly there's been a diminishing return on people staying for the entire meeting. The flip side of that, though, is what Dan was saying, and I had made a note to myself about having some conversation in September about doing board. What's the word I'm looking for?
Walkthroughs
to the buildings, because there's been a lot that's going on and some significant, you know, enhancements and improvements, and so we don't get a chance to see that. So being physically in the building, to Dan's point, you know, encourages that interaction from a board perspective. I also think even though community members or parents don't come to the meeting, there's something about the board making the outreach to that school and being present in that school, and that has, for me, meaning. So I had said to Ann, I defer to whatever the board decides, would still want a presentation by the schools, would still want, you know, students involved as needed and appropriate, because I think for me that's a huge part of our learning curve as a board and hearing from the teachers, et cetera, doing that work. So I didn't remember us definitively deciding just why we're having this conversation.
Well, yeah, there's not a definitive answer.
Yeah.
Well, and you know, maybe this year I'll just throw it out, but you know, I know I've heard that people don't always like to come to the boardroom, and it may be an intimidating place to come. Maybe if we had the school presentations here and people came here, maybe they'd see it's a pretty relaxed atmosphere.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, maybe they'd feel more welcome walking in,
mm-hmm,
when they really wanted to talk about other issues. I have no idea.
I don't know. You're right. Yeah.
I would certainly say, what do we do, 4 or 5 a year now?
Five.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, I would throw out maybe do 2 and then have the other 3 here, and let's see if that...
Rotate.
So let's see if that gets people to...
Mm-hmm.
If they get more comfortable with this environment, and then it's less work for the staff to set that up.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I mean, there might be some value this year, since it's an election year, of having the meetings in the buildings and linking that to, you know, if you have interest in the board, if you want to know more about it, here's an opportunity right in your backyard to come and be connecting some of that. So there's, you know, we always think that they should come.
I think we've done that. We've done that for many years. Is it like 3 years?
6 years. It was an initiative that Steve brought to the table.
Steve, when did you join the board?
6 years.
I would be in favor of eliminating it for a year or curtailing it for a year to see if we see any change. It is a huge amount of work for staff. It is, it's I don't want to use onerous, but it's probably just short of that. And to do all that effort and not have a return would lead me to believe maybe it makes sense, if nothing else, cut it back, if not all of it.
So where does this leave you?
Well, John has put a what I would call a compromise on the table, and that would be do two meetings at the sites. And
fall in the spring.
We'll do a fall in the spring presentation.
And I like the idea of if we think we have a bigger meeting or, you know, the whatever, where we meet Hadley, do one of those at Hadley, and then ask one of the four schools who wants to be the other school.
I remember parts of the conversation. I don't think we ever really landed on anything. You know, I guess on one hand, I don't feel like the intent, the goal was to increase attendance, and I think short of the presentation, I don't think it increased the attendance. On the positive side, though, it gets board members who are not familiar with those schools into the buildings, to see the buildings, to see the faces of the staff and the families, and it gives the families a chance to, you know, when students are involved, it gives the families a chance to kind of showcase their school, which is a positive thing. You know, because it staff being the kind of staff that we have will go and do, as onerous as it is, you guys will do whatever has to be done to get it done.
As will the principals.
Right. So, I mean, it doesn't make a difference to me. I know my personal issue is more about doing all the PTA meetings, but I still don't know if we ever
really
on that one either.
Yeah.
But
well, that's a topic that can be taken to PTA Council and discussed, you know, with them. And that's another option is, you know, leave the calendar as it is, as it's always been, doing it at the schools and have a discussion with PTA Council to see if they see any merit in it. If they don't see any merit, then...
In board members being represented at PTA meetings? Is that what you mean?
Well, both. Well, they're two different topics.
Yeah.
So it's a different topic. I'm not sure where you fell.
I don't care. I'll do whatever. It doesn't matter to me. I think two's a good idea.
Let's do two and then...
Yeah, I think that's a nice compromise. I still think there's some value in community members and parents seeing us do that outreach. And thank you to the staff willing to do that. And maybe we can leverage some of those meetings, depending on when they fall, to encourage folks to come for informational purposes as elections draw near and that type of thing.
And then we would still do the other schools in here? Are we asking the other schools to come?
I still would like a presentation from the schools,
You know what, I think, well, here's the thing, Sam. Before we started to do the road shows, the buildings would often come and they would present some project or that they've done at their school. And it was actually nice. I think in some ways it was actually nice when the students came here because it gave the students an opportunity to see what it is that we do. We used to have the Hadley Student Council come and, you know, do a run in the beginning of a meeting. And it was a way to get the kids involved as to what it is that we do. You know, they used to come and present their SIP plans, which, you know, with all due respect, I don't, you know, that's their staff work. That is not I know we officially approve them, but that's staff work.
Well, and we ask them to tie whatever they're going to share with you as part of their improvement process.
Right. And I think the presentations that we've had over the years have been great to highlight the things that are going on in their buildings. Mm-hmm. I think our buildings are proud of the work that they do, and they may have something that they want to share with us. I
think the reality is, you know, listening to you, Tara, is that these are presentations often that we would not avail ourselves of, that we would not necessarily go to, you know, the staff meeting at church to hear about it or the whatever, the PTA meeting that we don't have to be at, et cetera. So I think it's an educational tool for us as well. And I would hope, and I think that they do, that the principals really, and certainly the staff members who presented, feel really proud of the work. And I think they want a venue. And I think the fact that it's recorded and it's an opportunity potentially for other people to hear what's going on that that's a good thing. If we're talking about transparency, then I think it's all levels. It's our curriculum, it's our program, it's our, you know, our, you know, teachers, it's our kids, it's, you know. But I do agree.
Have
it's
we given
a lot
you
more.
Enough to make a decision?
I think Sam had a final viewpoint.
If we're going to ask the staffs to make presentations, I would think that it would be more comfortable and be easier for them to do it in their own schools. So if we're going to continue that, then I would fall back to just keeping it how it is. And
do you think that's an accurate perception?
Yeah. Especially if they want students to participate, they probably would just as soon have it at their buildings. If they're using anything that's physical other than a PowerPoint, you know, if they've got any sort of, like last year when we were at Churchill and they did the great tasks, that would have been really hard to do here.
Mm-hmm.
So depending on what they're doing, they may have a preference where they want to do it.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what, I have a good sense now, I think. And why don't I, you know, the idea is one meeting, you know, at the beginning and the end as a possibility at a building and then the rest of them coming here. Why don't I present that to the principals and see what their preferences be? I mean, you're not saying to them, we don't want you to present.
Right.
So you're going to still present. Where would you prefer to do it? Would you prefer to do it in your building or would you prefer, is it easier just to come here and do it?
Mm-hmm. Okay. And I guess I would also ask whoever's the first one up, I don't know if Eric has done the assignment check for this year, but whoever's up the first time at PTA Council, bring this to PTA Council mm-hmm. and just to get feedback because, you know, we are assuming that they're actually the people who show up or maybe they have some feedback that we don't. I mean, you know, we're talking about it from our perspectives, you know, as to what's happening, but maybe the community or our families in the buildings have a different way of looking at it.
I know that one of the goals for PTA Council last year, at least initially, was that for each of the school PTAs, local PTAs, to have one rep who would come and rotate and be at a board meeting so that they could report back. And that didn't hold. So I'll bring that back up again this year. And
we have verbatim recordings they can always watch. We get highlights that are very accurate. And I mean, if you don't can't understand what's going on, I mean, I don't think a board member is going to be the sole source of information at a PTA meeting or that type of thing.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, thank you for the feedback and the ability for us to make a decision on that one. The next thing, I just want to give you a quick update on class size targets and where we are currently, and we have a couple hot spots, but not too many. We've got a hot spot in third grade at Churchill, and I'm sorry. No, we have a first grade at Forest Glen, and we have everything else is really pretty good. We have a couple hot spots at Churchill in kindergarten, but with choice that's occurring, we may be okay with that. So
you're saying third grade not an issue in Churchill?
Third grade is not, no. It looks like it is, but I'm thinking that it's a combined with the bilingual classroom, and I think we're okay there.
Mm-hmm.
Second grade looks like it's high. It's over the target right now at Churchill, and then kindergarten.
Did you know the numbers of choice for this year?
Right now, we have, as of today, I brought that in with me, we have seven individuals that have requested choice. And they are predominantly kindergarten, five kindergarten, and then a first grade, a third grade, a second grade, and a third grade. So we have nine, not...
This is in addition to last year?
Yes.
So including last year, how many?
We had 18 last year.
So those 18, is it safe to say those 18 are continuing to attend the school that they chose, not their home school?
Mm-hmm.
And I could please try to help me understand how a kindergartner who hasn't even attended a school gets to make a choice. They're not even in the testing window.
And it's incredibly disappointing, and I'm sorry, I'm on my soapbox, but it's incredibly disappointing that it's a that these are kindergartners who haven't even attended a school, and they're making, they're prejudging. They're doing exactly what we're trying to teach our children not to do. They haven't even walked in the door. It is incredibly disappointing. And I mean, I know we could talk on and on about the legislation as a whole, and but it, I mean, it's just insane to me. It's insane.
It's what it is. I know. I don't.
So the Friday is the last day they can submit a choice form. Monday, we'll wait until Monday to make sure that nothing was postmarked on Friday that we hadn't received, and then we'll notify all those parents of their assignments, students' assignments, and get transportation arranged for them. So hopefully, primarily, they can get to meet and greet, and then we'll arrange transportation for them.
One other. Is there a way for us, and I'm not sure if we can do this because of the legislation, but is it possible for the board to develop policy that, for example, a kindergarten student that chooses to go to a different school, that we pay as a district to bus them to a different school when that school is no longer in, you know, no child left behind danger, and they're not no longer a choice issue, that that child, regardless of the grade, be required to attend their home school. Can the board make policy for that?
You can.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I guess you have to. I mean, at that point, you have to decide what's best for the kid.
I understand, John, and I thought about that as well. I guess what's a little again frustrating is to feel that. That how it impacts other children as well, and how it impacts the other families of the schools, when all of our schools are overcrowded, and it just the cost. And I know if they're no longer a choice and they continue to choose, then they have to pay for. They have to deal with their transportation issues. But it just feels like, particularly when we're dealing with kindergartners, it's a way to circumvent boundaries, our attendance boundaries with our school.
If I choose a school. And they get off of AYP. Can I continue to keep, once I choose, am I in that school for?
Mm-hmm. We've communicated that. Mm-hmm. Based on what we believe to be in the best interest of children.
That's right.
But the board, certainly, there's nothing in the law that would prohibit the board from saying when choice is over or they make AYP for 2 years, children go back to the school.
So making AYP for 2 years. The board, the thing that's going to happen first is every school is going to fail AYP, and then you're not going to have any choices.
Well, there's only one school who will ever be in a choice circumstance, and that is Churchill, as long as we give them Title I dollars. Mm-hmm. So Lincoln was not an option this year for choice because it did not make AYP this year. But even if Lincoln doesn't make AYP next year, they won't be a choice school the following year because they're not receiving any Title I dollars.
But do we really have to worry about this after next year?
It's hard to say. I'm guessing not, but it's really hard to say. I mean, the ESEA has to be reauthorized at some point. What that will look like and what that will mean is,
to Tara's point, if we are offering choice this time, maybe we shouldn't communicate as a guarantee.
Well, it's a little late for us. I mean, we communicated it exactly the same way we did last year.
All right.
So, if we're still in that position next year, I mean, the board could form policy now to say anything going forward, you're limited to the amount of time. I mean, there's...
Any boundary's not guaranteed.
No, it absolutely isn't, but I think, Steve, that, you know, when we looked at boundary changes as an example, when we looked at boundary changes as a way to deal with our, you know, overcrowding issues, I mean, remember the people, I mean, you know, families had very strong opinions of it. And, you know, I know in the past we have been asked, you know, families who move across the street, can they continue to attend schools? Or families that move knowing full well that their children are going to be required to attend a different school, we make, you know, that's what it is. There are lines drawn for a reason to help balance the numbers at our school, and I recognize that, in my opinion, an unfair label has been given to Churchill, not looking at all at the growth that they've made this year. And it's not fair to those families either, and it's not fair to the families of the other buildings where the children choose that the numbers are higher. I mean, there's just no way to balance it. And again, I just maybe
well, your two highest schools are schools not available for, I mean, your Franklin and Forest Glen have the lowest enrollments of our schools.
I understand that, but I
mean, at least one.
And then choice can't cause a hotspot. There's no choice available.
That's not true by the law, but we have done that.
Right.
We haven't been challenged on it, but we've said if a section is already above target, this year with the limitation of having just two schools, you know, we ended up, except at fifth grade, we had choice at both schools, and we figured when it comes down to the 17th, we'll try to look at how to balance that.
Well, and instead of the parent looking at choice, do you say, well, you have a choice of attending an overcrowded, you know, above average class, or above
when they talk to us
versus.
Well, sometimes parents don't call us. They just turn in their form with a first and second choice. And when if we find that we can't meet their first choice, then we would call them and say, based on the size of that class, you're going to be at this school rather than this school because of the class sizes. Mm-hmm. Then they would, you know, could say, well, I don't want to be there. I'll stay at Churchill or something.
I guess that with the kindergarten situation, you're looking at potentially incurring 6 years of busing a child from one side of town to the other just because somebody who's never walked through the door isn't willing to give a great school a chance. Mm-hmm. Okay.
They have PM.
Yeah, I was going to say they can probably get the less
Desirable. Just don't. Yeah.
Well, you'd be surprised. Why people? I mean, I think the shifts, you know, why people choose what they do is changing.
At both of our schools, PM is the only place they have openings. I mean, that we would have them in. Mm-hmm. And well, busing, because of busing schedules too. That's it for me. Yeah.
Thanks, Tara, for your comments too. I mentioned to Tara that this is a great example of really a board understanding at a much deeper level when we don't have Congress acting on, you know, reauthorization and all that goes along with it, that, you know, we understand the conundrum and the complexity that it causes even our small district, and it's certainly worthy of an outreach or a call to our, you know, representatives to say there's an impact when you don't make decisions. So, you know, I continue to encourage that. Let's see, board committee, other reports. Any board reports? Mm-hmm.
Yes. John and I have been working. We have our special meeting.
Yeah.
And John and I, we had two firms have confirmed, and we will get that, Maureen will get that information out to us. But the third firm, John and I have talked about, John is doing the legwork on that. And
I haven't heard back from Red.
Okay. So what do you want to do?
If I hear back, I'll tell them the year of the 20th.
Well, the only issue with that is that as of right now, the special meeting is supposed to start at 6:30 next Monday, and the presentations are to be, you know, 6:30, 7:30, 8:30. The other two firms are scheduled for 7:30 and 8:30.
Mm-hmm.
If Ray and Associates isn't coming, then I'd like to ask the board if we can move up the special meeting to start at, do it at 7 and 8, or still have it at 6:30, but Maureen has to post it. So we need to make a decision on what it is that we want to do.
Well, if you post it at 6:30, then you...
Then we have to start it at 6:30, but we would...
Just move up your presentation.
Move up the presentation.
Mm-hmm. Have you not heard anything back from them?
Then move up to 6:30 to 7:30 and put them at 8:30 if they're not showing up.
Okay.
Is that an issue?
Yeah, that makes the most sense.
Yeah. So you haven't heard anything from them, no response yet. Doesn't bode well.
Well, and I guess I would say if Johnny hasn't heard a response, I mean, at this point, I really don't know if that's a firm we would want to interview. I don't know if anybody feels differently about it, but.
Unless there's a very legitimate reason they're not responding.
Okay.
Well, it makes sense to
get them in the upper part of the meeting. Let's still leave it posted as it's going as it is, and then if they can come, to come at the last slot.
Either way, they have the 20th.
Yeah.
Okay, I will notify the other two firms and just ask them to just move up by an hour their presentation,
okay,
if that's okay with everyone else.
Yeah, that's fine.
And Maureen, they'll be sending Maureen some information that will come to the board.
Dan, is that a board meeting that you'll need to communicate by phone?
The 20th?
Yeah. Correct.
No, I'll be there.
Okay.
It was going to start at
6:30.
5:15.
I think, right. And I think we just start our meeting at 6:15 to just give a general, because obviously it's open to the public, just generally talk about what it is that we're doing, and then have the presentation start as soon as each group has, 45 minutes, they'll make a presentation. Board members should be prepared if they have any questions that they'll be able to ask anyone, who comes to present.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Okay, thank you. Anything else? I just have a couple of quick things. I know that Ann put this in the Thursday letter. Monday the 20th is the Institute Day, our kickoff, and I know that a few of us said we were going to be able to be there, so I was curious if you know for sure you're going to be there, then it's an opportunity to introduce board members that will be there for the large auditorium. So if you're going to be there, you can let me know, and I'll make a note of that and look for you, too.
If you're going to be there, wear your 21st century learning
T-shirts. T-shirts, yes, blue that's shirt. Right. Mm-hmm. Our blue shirts.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
Teal.
Yes, lovely.
District colors.
District colors, that's right. And I want to thank Maureen for getting out the email on all the policy updates. That was helpful to remind us where we've been. And if you haven't had a chance to acknowledge that, she needs to have that emailed back to her. In some of the information that Ann had sent to us, there was a website, a link to some of the IASB stuff, and one of them was on recruiting board candidates, and our board's going to have potentially 4 seats open. We'll have 4 seats open to either returning or new candidates. And so I had asked Ann if it might be a good idea to get these, and thank you to Maureen for ordering them, and they came. So I'll just distribute these, and it's a guide to recruiting and kind of getting this to be top of the mind for us as board members, and we'll be working on some candidate orientation and that type of thing as well. So wanted to give that to you. And Tara brought this up, and it was on my list, but assignments, which we'll do at our next meeting. If you did not get a rotation last year, so for instance, if you didn't get to go to a CERC meeting and you want to have that experience, that rotation, let me know by email. Otherwise, it'll just do a 3-month rotation like we did before with PTA meetings, CERC, and
PTA
Council. Yeah, as the other one, right? So just let me know. All right, that's it. Thank you very much. Discussion items, none scheduled. Upcoming meetings, August 20th is a special board meeting at 6:15, Central Services Office. August 27th is the next Board of Education regular meeting, 2012, 7:30 here at Central Services. And then September 10th, 2012, a Board of Education regular meeting here again at Central Services. We have new staff reception that night from 7 to 7:30. We can make a note of that on your calendars right now. We have, I think you said 8 new staff members. I don't know if that's changed. Currently 8 new staff members. And that will precede the board meeting. Any other matters to be considered by the board at this time? All right. Is there anyone present who'd like to address the board at this time in the public? The board has determined it has a need to adjourn to closed session to discuss the following matters. Collective negotiating matters between the district and its employees or their representatives, or deliberations concerning salary schedules for one or more classes of employees, the purchase or lease of real property for the use of the district, including meetings held for the purpose of discussing whether a particular parcel should be acquired, or the appointment, employment, compensation, discipline, performance, or dismissal of specific employees of the district or legal counsel for the district, including hearing testimony on a complaint lodged against an employee or against legal counsel for the district to determine its validity. I have a motion to adjourn to closed session.
Second.
Roll call.
Mr. Ellis?
Yes.
Mr. Smith?
Yes.
Mr. Kendall?
Yes.
Mr. Conrad?
Yes.
Mr. Powers?
Yes.
Mr. Flatt?
Yes.
Mrs. Nelson?
Yes. Thank you very much.
Thanks, everybody.
Thanks, everyone.